Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back. We are here on the air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communications, and I want to once again thank our fantastic sponsor, the One Institute, for bringing us here with you tonight. Our call-in number, 323-203-0815, and we are on the air, Dr. Allen.
Hello. And ready to answer questions.
We are ready to answer questions. That's fantastic. We have some questions from our fabulous fan base from Facebook. And our first question, let me look at it here. It's disappeared off my screen. We have a young lady here who says, I'm having problems with my young son. He is 12 years old. He is becoming incredibly rebellious. I don't know how to communicate with him anymore. We had a great relationship and strong communications, but it seems that since he's started middle school, things have changed dramatically. I don't know what to do. I am a single mother, and I am 38 years old. Does that make a difference?
Not for him. For you, it does. The book I want you to get is called Brainstorms by Dan Siegel. And this is the newest, latest on the teenage brain from 13 to 18, maybe extending into the 20s, but 13 to 18, Brainstorms. Do you know that the teenage brain does not produce as much dopamine as the child wants? That's the reason they get out in the world and do weird, wacko, wild things. So one of the things that parents have got to realize is that nature wants to push those young cubs out in order to set up space for the new crop coming in. So I totally recommend Brainstorms by Dan Siegel. And the other thing that I do as a transactional analyst, communication specialist, is I teach parents, especially mothers with sons and fathers with daughters, you must respect them when you talk to them. And here are the tools. Number one, do not ask a 10-plus kid. Up to the age of 10, they are in relative youthful childhood. But once they hit 10, 8 for girls, 10 for boys, they are now requiring respect. So when you want to talk to him, don't ask him how he feels about things. If he's puking or bleeding, yes, take care of his physical problems. But say to him, son, I have a request to make of you. Is it convenient for you to hear me?
Right.
Now, if he says, no, I don't want to hear you, you have every right not to hear me. There's going to be a cost factor for that.
Right.
Now, if he says, what is it, Mom? Now, do you notice the attitude?
Yeah.
Lousy.
Right.
Ignore it. Only pay attention to the words and the behavior.
Okay.
If the attitude, yes, Mom, thank you, son. Here's how you ask him. You know what? I want the dishwasher emptied by 5 o'clock tonight. What do you think about doing that? I'm expecting company, and I'm wanting the dishwasher empty. So are you willing to do it? So if he says, oh, yes, thanks.
Okay.
You see?
Okay.
Now, when you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him about something, you have to make an appointment. You can't just blast into his brain. He's much too much. The highest level of testosterone will be when he's 19 years old.
Right.
And 10 to 12 is a little too close to 19.
Right.
So make an appointment to teach. Son, I have an idea about how to do this or grades or whatever. When would it be convenient, hopefully today, for you to listen to what I have to say?
Right.
Okay.
Now, one of the questions I have is,
what?
That relates to this, is this help them develop their autonomy, really?
Yes.
And also, does it help them in their future with respect to relationships?
Totally, because one of the problems is another book. I give books like crazy.
I love books. So
Living with the Passive-Aggressive Man,
yes.
Even when they're 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
If you over-control, try to control, whenever a mother attempts to control the body of her son, he may go passive-aggressive. And that means he'll say, yes, Mom, he won't do it.
Right, yeah.
So your very best bet is make an appointment, ask for what you want, get permission to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question, and don't pay attention to attitude.
So if you don't take those steps, you can actually pretty much anticipate that you are going to get the passive aggressive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's why I have people read the book by Scott Wetzler, Living with a Passive-Aggressive Man.
Yes.
Then the fourth tool, your son has irritated you.
Mm-hmm.
He's done something, but you didn't have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer.
Right.
When that happens, you make him right. You won't believe it, but you'll make him right. Son, you had a right to think that, feel that, do that. You had every right to be you. But I am definitely not comfortable with your not doing what I've asked and negotiated.
Right.
I want you to know that there will be a price to pay if you do not negotiate with me.
Right.
I have rights as a parent, and you have rights as a son. But negotiating, not intimidating you or you me, and not seducing, whining, is going to get farther down the road.
Right.
You see?
Yeah, I do.
And the next tool is body language. And this, I've already touched on it. What you do when you see body language, tones of voice, gestures, postures, facial expressions,
mm-hmm.
That's when you say, son, I think by the tone of your voice that you're upset about something. Am I right? Yes. When would it be convenient, hopefully today, for you and I to talk about what it is? Now, what is it? Mom, I'm upset about blank, blank, blank. You this, you that, whatever. What can I do to help you and I do better, son?
Right.
See that negotiable bridge?
Yeah.
Okay. Then the final tool is you are frustrated beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
And any word out of your mouth is going to be intimidating or seductive or whatever.
Right.
So what you say is time out, or give them a timeout signal, like right. A referee in a ball game.
Right, exactly.
What are you doing, Mom? I'm signaling you that I'm upset, and it would be good for you if you would ask me what you can do with me to help both of us feel better.
Right.
So with regard to dealing with your son, the more you respect a young man, the more they feel cherished. The more they feel cherished, the more willing they are to cherish you.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yep.
And it works, I'm assuming, much the same with the female child. And you say 8 is the magic number for the female.
Little girls tend, remember, daddy's the big umbrella for the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And mother is the big mirror to his manhood.
Right.
The more a father protects his daughter's rights to feel, the mm-hmm. more he says, not, oh, quit your crying. You know what? Your brothers don't cry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, girls cry.
Right.
And I want dad to say, what can I do to help you feel better?
Right.
You see? And when dad wants to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question, I want him to make an appointment. Honey, I have some ideas about your room, your grades, your clothing, whatever. When would you be comfortable, hopefully today, to negotiate with me, talk to me about some things?
Right.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
The more you cherish, the more a dad cherishes his daughter, the more she feels respected.
Right.
And when she feels respected, she will respect you.
Very good. That is awesome. I think that's amazing.
By the way, my book, Conversational Rape, goes from embryo to the grave. And in there are the tools and communication. I put in there an example of a bad transaction, an intimidating, seductive one.
Right.
And then I put in the corrected. So if you go to my website, you can get Conversational Rape, which is an overview of my doctoral work.
Yes, you can. You can get Conversational Rape at the Want Ice Store. And you can also go take a peek around at www.drpatallen.com. But Want Ice Store, we have the book Conversational Rape, but we also have audio recording of that. So it's fantastic. And I have to tell you that Conversational Rape is the very first book of yours that I ever encountered many, many years ago as a young woman, and it was life-changing for me, completely life-changing. We have a caller.
Okay.
Good evening, caller. You are on the air with Dr. Allen. Have you got a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello.
I have a question. I am a small business owner and entrepreneur, and I've been kind of battling with how do I not come across as that, you know, like when I meet men, a lot of them ask
okay.
me what do I do. When I try to,
Are you a career woman or a woman with a career?
A woman with a career, because I read the book and I've read it many times. We didn't try to.
Good. Now, what is the major?
I totally am in my feminine. Yes.
What is the major sex organ for a man?
His eyes.
And what is he looking for?
Sensualness and for you to be available to him for play, kind of like after work and things like that.
That's exactly right. And Harvard did the study on it. 2/3 of men want sensuous and sexual pleasure and stability after working to pay the bills. Women, 2/3 of the time, want status and financial stability after work.
And that's what I want. It's just that every time I meet guys, like when either it's online dating or let's just say I go to a restaurant tonight for dinner and I'll meet a guy and he says to me, well, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm the event planner. And then they kind of, some guys kind of keep asking more questions like, oh, do you work for a company? Do you work for yourself?
And what you say to him, wait a minute. I have a phenomenon called lying for love. Okay? And that phenomenon would be, you be the man, he's walked over to you, you haven't walked over to him, because you're the egg and he's the sperm. So how does he start interviewing you? They all interview. So how would he start interviewing, and I'm going to be the new you?
Okay, so you want me to be the man?
Yep,
hi,
I
how
do.
Are you?
I'm fine.
So I'll walk over. Okay. So what brought you out tonight? What brought you out to this bar tonight?
What are you at? What is she saying?
She's saying, what made you come to this bar tonight? She's role-playing the man, you're role-playing
the
bar.
Yeah, I know that, but what did she come? I came here to have dinner with my girlfriend.
Okay, so what do you do? Do you work in the neighborhood?
As a matter of fact, I left my balls at the office.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm a girl.
Wow.
I'm a girl after 6 p.m.
Interesting. Okay.
See, what you're doing is...
Okay.
He knows. Here's what he knows. If he finds out you're a hardworking woman, he knows you are hungry for sensual and sexual pleasure. With a little bit of humor, you can fend off his inquiry into your masculinity. Now, naturally, I want you to dress like a girl.
Of course.
Okay. And what else would he say to you? Because you've already cut him off for interviewing for jobs.
Then I guess he would say, so what do you like to do in your spare time?
I love to go dancing. I adore movies, theater. I love to swim. Do you notice I'm saying things that are all sensual?
Right.
Do you see?
Okay. No, I get it. I get it. I guess if I don't want to be as abrupt with the ball remark, is there any other like ways that I can
Yeah, another way would
like,
say,
online?
I have made it myself a commitment that at 6 p.m. every work day, I literally go into my fairy tale girlhood.
Okay.
Something
I got that.
That is childlike, feminine, sensuous, and non-working.
Okay.
Or here's what else you can say. You have every right to want to find out if I'm a good potential business situation, except it's a turnoff for me. I'm here in this place to have fun. I'm waiting for my girlfriend, and I'm enjoying meeting you, but I do not want to talk business.
Okay, yeah, I like that, because I encounter that a lot also online, because I do the online dating, and
that's fine.
One question that men ask all the time. What do you do? That's like their second question. I'm just like, okay.
They want to see
I,
how desperate you are for love.
Interesting. So basically with online then, just to be clear, when I'm online, so I'm not in front of them, I should just basically say, well, if it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and they say that, you know, because online dating, you could email anybody anytime. If they ask me in the middle of the afternoon, like, what do you do? Like, how should I play that? Like, that's what I've been struggling with. I don't know how to respond to people.
Well,
you know.
do you do your hunting on the internet in your office?
Am I hunting in my office?
Well, you're saying it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he's asking you what you do. Your
right.
answer to him is, at 3 o'clock today, I am enjoying my life.
Okay.
Keep on remembering that men who are men want sensual and sexual stability. Women who portray themselves physically, mentally, and emotionally, men all day, are only going to be with a feminine man who doesn't make the same amount of money you do. If you want to be a woman with a real man, play to his nature, and his nature is sensual and sexual stability. By the way, there's a book, it's called The Evolution of Desire by David Buss. And it's about the Harvard study. So I'm telling you the truth, and I want you to go and see it. You'll feel like a bimbo because you're not going to be sharp and masculine and productive. Thank God.
I love it. Okay. I will try that, because that's what I want. Obviously, I want a manly man. I want to be a homemaker. I want to have babies. I want to, you know, be all of that.
And you want to be a career woman on the side. There's nothing wrong. But that's not your primary. You're either a career woman or a woman with a career.
Yeah, a woman with a career. I don't want to be a career woman. I want to be a woman with a career. I want to meet a man that wants to be the head of the household, the breadwinner, and yeah, I want that type of life.
And then
that's
remember,
what I'm trying to figure out how to get it. Yeah.
Equal communication destroys intimacy. I think, I want, I feel, I don't want. Watch out for equality in communication. It's too competitive.
Got it. I'm going to try it tomorrow. The next guy that may email me online, I'm going to try that, and the next guy I meet out in, you know, a bar or a club or something, I'll try it out. And I'm going to try something different, because like I said, right now what I've been doing hasn't been working, and it seems like it makes them go into work mode.
Don't forget the following. When a man is drinking, he's going feminine. When a woman is drinking, she's going masculine. I recommend Virgin Mary's or Starbucks, places where you won't get into mind-altering chemicals.
Got it. Okay. Then I'll look other places to meet them. And again, I've been doing a lot of online dating, so that's kind of really where my responses have been. You know, on the online dating sites to what do you do? So writing it out, I'll just, you know, do
good.
What you said and see how it plays out. So thank you guys so much.
You're welcome.
Thank
Happy
you for
hunting.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Will do.
Speaking of that, Dr. Allen, I thought of something that was interesting. You were telling her to, you know, basically diffuse him by, you know, being cute or whatever. Now then, when these gals are out there and they want to be feminine and they're creating their online dating profile.
Yes.
Would you downplay that, what they do for a living and things like
yes,
that?
Yes, you put that second.
Right.
You market the feminine, the sensual, the sexual, the playful, the lovable. You market that first, unless you want a toy boy. If
right.
you want a toy boy, he wants you to be Big Mama.
Right.
He wants you to make tons of money. Do you
so
see?
If our caller's still listening, maybe you want to take a look at your profile and maybe make sure that that isn't one of your top things, since that seems to be a question they're asking you. Maybe it's too high up in your profile.
Advertising profile.
And your advertising profile, exactly. Dr. Allen,
what?
We have lots of questions for you. Many, many questions come in. And I want to just say, I've just received a message from somebody who wants to say thank you to you. And this is what they say. I want to thank you for helping me work through a very abusive, emotionally abusive relationship that lasted 5 years.
Woo!
And walking into an amazing marriage that's lasted 26 years. I can't thank you enough. I'm still saying don't should me and committing to the marriage, not the person. I just wanted to say thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoy helping people be happy.
I thought that was really nice, and I thought you might like to see that, because I think that was pretty cool.
Right.
Okay. We have a gal out there who was having the dreaded duty dating quandary. She says that duty dating just feels like cheating. She just feels like when she goes out with somebody, she should just be completely honest with them, and she doesn't feel she should go out with anybody else. And I disagree with that concept, and I love the duty dating concept. I want to know what you have to say, Dr. Allen, about it.
Duty dating. See, men don't generally have to duty date.
Right.
Because they have a lot of permission to walk up to us and ask us out.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to decide, do we want to be respected or do we want to be cherished? Like I said,
mm-hmm.
am I a career woman or a woman with a career?
Right.
If a woman wants to be cherished, do you see,
mm-hmm.
then it would behoove her to basically understand that she has got to act and speak like a cherishable woman. If she wants respect, get it at work.
Right.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
But after work, that's where you have multiple choice. So duty dating is what women generally do when they are not in a relationship and they want to practice being receptive, being available to receive,
mm-hmm.
and being respectful of gentlemen that want to give, protect, and cherish.
Now, what do you say to her statement that she feels like it's cheating? Now, I think it's interesting because I know you've mentioned before whatever that is, and that immediate
premature monogamy.
There we go, premature monogamy.
Premature monogamy. You see, we women are built to chemically respond when you're young.
Right.
I'm not that young, so I have to fall in love intellectually.
Right.
But younger women bond physiologically.
Mm-hmm.
So a duty dating situation is you date three men.
Right.
I mean, yes, if three men that you're attracted to ask you out, go for it.
Right.
But if three men don't ask you out, and three men that are nice people, you know, they're not in orange uniforms with numbers on the back.
Right.
Okay. So they are nice people. Please give them three dates in which you could turn on. You see?
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. And I think it's interesting because I have a girlfriend who I have given her the duty dating lecture. And so she's agreed to do it. And so what was interesting is she's been doing it now for, well, she did it for a year and 3 months. And then she finally came down to it. She was dating this one man, and she didn't think he was attractive, and she didn't really like
women
him.
Women pick with their ears.
Yeah, she did not really like him. And so the ironic thing was is that he ended up being the one that she fell in love with, and they are now engaged, and they're going to be married. She said it was funny. One day he just made me laugh and feel
that's right
so good, and it was like at that moment a switch just flipped.
That's exactly right.
So that's what you're talking about.
They've discovered or researched that people that are repelled by somebody, if they hang around them, that can turn to attraction by humor, by intelligence, by success, by whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So duty dating is what you do until you find and someone finds you to date that is attractive. Women are attracted to men through their ears, through talking. There's a wonderful book out there, and it's called The Five Languages of Love. And it's about, we each have our own style of stroking.
Right.
Some of us like chores. Some of us like sharing athletic events. Some of us like sex. So each of us has a way of talking or touching.
Right.
But don't not date somebody that's chasing you. If a man wants you, he'll come after you.
Right.
And I'm not saying you have to have intercourse with him, but I would strongly recommend you give him three dates in order to see if you can, in fact, turn on through your ears.
That's awesome. And one of the other questions, or one of the other parts of her question is, now you've dated this fellow three times. What do you do with them if you're just still not turned on?
Well, if
you have a really strong policy about that.
I have a very strong policy, and the policy is you say to him upon the request of the fourth date,
mm-hmm.
I so have enjoyed our three dates.
Yes.
However, I cannot tell you that I genuinely feel romantically involved with you, and I don't want to use you. And I don't want to lead you on. So if you date me, now that I've disclosed this, you're dating a friend. Maybe I'll turn on, maybe I won't. But that's who I am today with you.
Right. Well, that's fantastic. And one of the interesting things, I think, is that once you hit that point and there's no more of that weird tension between you.
No.
Then you can actually be friends.
Absolutely.
Funny thing is, my girlfriend was in a situation very much like that. Ended up, they were friends for like 6 years, just friends. He was dating people. She was dating people. Yada, yada. Whenever she was single, he was together with somebody and vice versa. And until finally one time, boom, they were both single. And it was like, you know, magic.
Right.
And they ended up together. And that is what's interesting is because you say no friendship goes past the first lay.
Absolutely. Because the body takes over.
Right. They had bonded in so many levels that
yes.
It just became so natural.
I know. It grew into a love affair.
It did. And it's very strong. You know, they have a very good, strong relationship and great communications, and they do use your tools to do that.
You've got to have chemistry, you've got to have compatibility, and you've got to be able to communicate. You've got to be able to say what you want and what you don't want with respect and cherishing. Women want generally, I want to be married someday.
Right.
Men want specifically, I want to marry you.
Right.
So to men, they think it's strange that we simply want a category, but that's how we judge the person we're evaluating.
Right.
Are they single? Do they want kids? That's a biggie.
Right. Where a man might say, I want two children. A woman's like, I want kids.
Yes.
You know, which could mean 300 kids.
Yeah, right. Well,
you know,
it goes on.
Adopt a kid, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And those negotiations in that respect.
But I strongly recommend no intercourse without a commitment to monogamy, continuity, and longevity, that you're both on the same page in those three areas. And as far as those are concerned, chemistry is not negotiable. It's either there or it's not there. Do you see?
Yes.
And compatibility is your lives fit together. Chemistry is lust.
Mm-hmm.
Compatibility is like, I approve of you.
Right.
And communication is love.
Right.
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is the commitment you're willing to make and keep. But if you jump into a fast ride of intercourse, your bodies can bond.
Right.
And you will be with somebody that you're not compatible with.
Right.
And cannot negotiate with.
That is so true. I've been through that. So, once again, I want to let you guys know that our call-in number is 323-203-0815. And we have another question through our fabulous Facebook fans, which we love you. Keep liking us out there. My name is Blank. I was recently introduced to your book.
Getting to I Do.
Yes.
I've also written Staying Married, Loving It. Not quite as popular.
Yeah. When I first opened it and I read a few things in it, it looked like Japanese, and I refused to read on. Needless to say, I was encouraged by a few women who have read it, and they said, if you want different results, you need to act differently. So, I have a question for you.
What's up?
I have began acting differently. I haven't contacted the man that I am in love with for over 3 weeks now. My dilemma is this. His birthday is tomorrow, and I am torn. What do I do?
I believe in ritual strokes.
Okay, great.
Now, ritual strokes are bar mitzvahs, birthdays, Christmas, mm-hmm. Easter, whatever, because they can't say that you're chasing them for dates.
Okay.
A ritual stroke is just what it is. I've got people giving 4th of July cards.
Right.
Women.
Right.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So I totally approve of ritual strokes.
So in other words, it's okay for him to send him a birthday card, maybe call him, send him a text message.
Well, calling him. Have you ever noticed how weird you act when you like somebody?
Yeah, it's kind of like sticking
you're really cool with somebody you don't like.
Right.
So don't call.
Okay.
Text, email, but watch out the voice, because the voice vibrates.
It does. It transmits something completely.
All I'm saying is acknowledge the ritual.
Okay, so to our wonderful Facebook fan out there, yes, you. I hope you're listening and you heard what Dr. Allen had to say, because I think that was probably a tough one for you. Let me see here. Oh, my goodness. That is awesome. Dr. Allen.
What?
I went out with this man 6 times, and finally it was just too much. and we slept together. And when I say slept together, yes, there was penetration. So everything was fine for 3 weeks after that. But now, all of a sudden, he seems to be dropping out of my life.
Well, if you let him pick your cherries without negotiating, don't be surprised if he wants another cherry tree and it isn't you.
Right.
You have got to negotiate the boundaries. Hooking up is between two people that want to have animal sex. Do you see?
Yes, I do.
But if you want a make-love relationship, you have to have some awareness of chemistry, compatibility, and communication.
Right.
So I strongly admonish people, know what you're doing when you mess around with sex. People that just want sex rarely make love. People that make love and negotiate boundaries, yes, they do wild sex here and there, but they know how to make love.
Right, and there is a big difference, I think.
Totally.
If you're in a relationship where you're making love, you know, you can
feel it.
You can do the quickie and the, you know, the
right.
the fast wild sex for, you know.
Or in Iowa, they call it the nooner.
The nooner, yes. They probably call it in Kansas, too. I don't know. Yeah. But I haven't been back there in years. So I think it's one of the things that people, you know, they use that word interchangeably, and I don't think it's an interchangeable concept.
Not even slightly. Every woman I know knows by the touch whether she's having sex or making love.
We have a great question. Dr. Allen,
what?
In the face of the recent Supreme Court decision regarding lesbian, bisexual, gay,
yes.
transgender marriages,
mm-hmm.
I am wondering, does your book, Getting to I Do, apply to us, either two men
totally.
Or two women?
Totally.
Yes, exactly. So talk to us, Dr. Ellen. How does it apply?
Well, number one, every fetus is female to start with.
Right.
And within 8 days, mommy's body spots the SRY master switch, that is the Y chromosome that the baby boy is triggered into
mm-hmm.
producing.
Right.
From 8 days to 26 weeks pregnancy, that mommy and that baby, used to be a girl, are now molding that baby girl into a boy.
Okay.
Now, mommy is now pregnant again. This time, she's got an XX girl that's really a girl, but her body picks up what she thinks is the SRY chromosome.
Right.
Which inadvertently signals her and the baby girl to start creating a boy's body. This is called the cortisone hypoplasic adrenalized female.
Okay.
And everybody on this planet is on a continuum of maleness and femaleness.
Okay, that I understand.
And so with that in mind, there's one test I heard about where you hold up a pretty man picture and a pretty woman picture, and the eyes dilate to the sex that person is subject to.
Right, okay.
Okay, so number one, everybody's androgynous.
Right.
Now, we have an experience with Bruce Jenner. What is her name?
Caitlin.
Good. Okay. That person has taken the money, the time, and energy to put the body into a different sexual venue, even though he used to seem to be a boy. He obviously thinks and believes, and by the way, rumor has it that nobody will take his penis off until he lives a girl's life for a year.
I understand that there are some rules. I'm not exactly sure what all of them are, but I have heard also that there may be something.
So, number one, everything I teach, yin energy is feminine energy. Women have feminine bodies, yin, but they have masculine souls, yang.
Right.
Men have yang bodies and yin souls, but some men are in a woman's body.
Right.
And some women are in a man's body. So this business of men are men and women are women is not accurate.
No, it isn't.
Okay. So I have no problem working with two people, gay or straight or lesbian.
Right. Their question is, when they're looking at your book, Getting to I Do, and your other teachings, and you're really, your basis of your work is one has a female energy and one has a male energy.
Yin and yang.
Right. So it works for same-sex couples.
And here's how I do it. Do you want to be respected first, cherished second, or do you want to be cherished first and respected second?
Right.
Or do you want to be respected and cherished equally?
Well, this young lady here is saying that you have a rather large following in that community.
Yes, I do.
They are wanting to know.
Yes.
Other than your wonderful book, which they do love, do you have any books for them? They love that you're always giving out books, and they want to know, do you have any books for them to help them really be able to work through this?
All I tell them is change the name. Like, I didn't have Caitlin on my mouth.
Right.
Change the name in any book that I write.
Right.
From male to female, or female to male.
Just to help them make that
transition. All I want you to know is two brains, male to male, communicating male to male, too competitive. I think, I want, I feel, I don't want.
Yeah.
So just change the descriptions of the yin is whether it's got a penis or a vagina, it doesn't matter.
Right, of course.
And a yang person doesn't matter either. It's where you're talking from.
I see. Definitely. Okay, so I'm
beware. Here, I want to say this.
Okay.
Beware of your thoughts, because they become words. Beware of your words. They become habits. Beware of your habits. They become your character. And beware of your character. It becomes your destiny. The bank making money. Doctor's office being healthy. In every single relationship, straight, gay, or lesbian.
Wonderful.
I'm writing a book with a gay colleague of mine, Robert Storr, and it's called From Both Sides Now. He and I have done radio shows.
Yes.
We have used the work.
Yes.
With all different varieties. And we are not finished with the book.
Right.
But it's From Both Sides Now.
Wow. I'm looking forward to that. I have great admiration, as you know, for you. And I think Robert Storr is a pretty dynamic human being. This one's kind of sad, Dr. Allen. I was married to my husband for 32 years. And I've just lost him about a year and a half ago. I feel like I'm betraying him, but I'm lonely, and I would like to look for love again.
Well, it takes approximately 2 years to grieve your way through a relationship, whether it ends with divorce.
Right.
Or death.
Right.
2 years, you can pretty well figure.
Right, right.
It's going to be tough.
So she's on the fringes of that.
Right.
At 18 months, right.
18 months, she's starting to get the itch back.
Right.
Now, what I want her to do is I want her to start practicing flirting.
Okay.
5 minutes a day 5 days a week. I want you to go out and about while you're walking around or going through stores or museums, and I want you to look in the eyes of a man, hopefully one you're attracted to.
Right.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
But once a week, remember I said 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week?
Right.
Once a week, I want you to be seated or standing somewhere where a shy gentleman can approach you, because many, many times flirting on the hoof where you're walking through a restaurant or the man doesn't move fast enough.
Right.
And so because of that, especially if he's right-handed, because if he's right-handed, his feelings in his right lobe brain and his thinking in his left lobe bifurcate. They're two separate. So mm-hmm. we've got to give him a drop the hanky time where you're sitting on a bench or you're waiting for your car to get washed or you're having coffee at Starbucks where you can flirt but not move away.
Right.
So 5 days a week, 5 minutes a day, four on the hoof, one seated or standing is a wonderful way to start getting accustomed to being dancing.
Interacting again.
That's right.
And flirting and opening yourself up to that.
Right.
That is really awesome. And I wish you the best of luck, our Facebook follower, in doing that. And I hope you'll take Dr. Allen's advice, because it's really good advice. Let me see.
And read Getting to I Do.
Yes, read Getting to I Do, because it's awesome. Dr. Allen.
Yes?
You say kissing's okay, but no penetration.
Penetration, there's lots of penetration.
Mm-hmm.
There's toy penetration, finger penetration.
Tongue.
There's a lot of, I'm talking about penile intercourse.
Okay.
Oral, anal, vaginal.
All right. Now, they're asking, where is the line drawn?
I just said it.
Right. So they're saying it's okay for him, but not, or is it okay for him, you to orally please
no.
him? Okay.
Blowjobs are intercourse.
Right.
You know what I call a man who's willing to give oral sex to a woman?
What?
God.
Okay.
That is extremely generous.
Yes, it is.
So, oral, anal, vaginal intercourse
okay.
qualifies you to marry.
Right.
If you do not have intercourse, you can qualify for an annulment.
Ah, yes. Okay, so to our Facebook questioner, the answer to your question is a resounding, that is penetration, and that is intercourse. So, no, that is your line in the sand. But
well, it's not only my line, it's a legal boundary, too. It makes a statement. You see what I mean?
Uh-huh. I only have a question from a gentleman now who says, I've been dating this woman for 3 months, and I believe I want to marry her, but I'm fearful that we're not sexually mated because she won't have sex with me. What is your answer to that, Dr.
I'm saying if you kiss her, taste her, touch her, smell her, see her, hear her, you're having sex. If you want intercourse,
mm-hmm.
then some religions require that both people abstain from intercourse, and they agree.
Right.
So they bundle, they hug, and get whatever.
Right.
But if you want intercourse, I have no problem with you and she getting engaged. Do you see what I mean?
Right.
So monogamy, social and sexual, continuity, seeing each other regularly, and a commitment. Now, a promise ring is a go steady ring.
Right.
It used to be like a pinning.
Yeah, we get pinned, yeah.
Yeah. There's jewelry stores that make tiny little promise rings, and getting engaged can be, as far as I'm concerned, when a man and a woman or two men or two women give up dating, that's when God enters the system.
Right.
Monogamy, continuity, and longevity.
Right.
So when you get that agreement and you give her a symbol,
yes,
you see, I see nothing wrong.
Oh, I see nothing wrong either. And
but if she does, then he's got to say she's incompatible with his mores.
Right.
And therefore, he may not want to marry her.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if it's no big deal and she's willing to play and cuddle and be sexual within her boundaries, her moral code, it could really be the beginning of a very stable relationship.
Awesome. Dr. Allen, we are out of time. What have you got to say to us tonight before we go?
Well, what I want to say tonight is love, like, and lust. And that is fun.
Right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in with us tonight. We love you. Follow us on Facebook. Visit us, wantistore.com, drpatallen.com. And once again, thanks to our sponsor, the One Institute. We love you. Goodbye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.